A message from the American Podcast Council.
Hey, everybody, gather around the piano.
Oh, all right. Hey,
sounds
boy.
Fun. Hey, what you listening to?
Podcasts.
How can I listen to
podcasts? Here, let me show you real fast.
It's easier than baking a cake.
Well, I should hope so.
Hey, you know there's nothing on earth like a genuine, bona fide, electrified three-part podcast.
Yeah.
That's right. And it seems today, in our troubled world, most people don't know what a podcast is.
No!
It's true, but you know. Got one in your ear right now.
Sure do.
So please, help me out. Show your friends and neighbors how to cast a pod.
Okay.
Then tell the world about your favorite show using hashtag tripod. That's T-R-Y-P-O-D with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and you know what that stands for.
Podcast.
Hashtag tripod. That's T-R-Y pod.
Hey gang, are you looking to make business cards and not quite sure where to go? Maybe you've tried some online sources before and ended up with some crappy product that you were not proud of? Well, let me tell you about the one that I use and I love. That's Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color, single-sided, or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com and order your cards, and in the offer code, enter BC500. That's B as in boy, C500. Start passing out your cards at bars and parties and let everyone know who you are. That's Vistaprint.com. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. The amazingly talented and incredibly entertaining Lily Blessing is my guest. She has a brand new album that came out a couple weeks ago. It's called Lifeline. You can go to lilyblessing.com to find it there. It's on iTunes. And if you want to pick up your own physical copy and you live in Austin, you can pick it up at Waterloo Records. Or you can order one online if you want from lilyblessing.com. Lily's amazing. This album is amazing. This album is gorgeous. And Lily's only 20 years old, and she wrote most of these songs when she was only 14 years old. Now, when you go and listen to these songs, you listen to the lyrics, she was wise beyond her years. I mean, she was writing about this stuff that was complex, deep stuff, about wanting someone physically but disliking them personally, like things like that that happen later on in life. And we have a great conversation about that and about her upbringing. She's the daughter of my dear old friend, Sarah Hickman, who I've known since before Lily was born. And we have a great conversation. She's amazingly talented. I went to rehearsal last week with Skyrocket before we did this podcast. And Kyle Crusham, who is in Skyrocket, told me, he was like, "Hey man, I worked with this girl, Lily Blessing, yesterday, Sarah Hickman's daughter, you know her?" And I was like, "You know, I've met her when she was little, but I haven't really seen her. But she's going to be on my show next week." And he's like, "Oh, you're going to love her. She's like one of the best people he's ever worked with. He's worked with tons of people, from Edie Brickell, Jill Sobule, all kinds of people. And Lily's one of the best." So that's coming from people. When you hear the music, you'll be like, "Whoa, that girl's incredible." And her story is fantastic. She grew up going all over the world. Her dad is this guy that travels a lot, this business guy that travels everywhere. And she went everywhere with him. And of course, her mom traveling and doing all those shows everywhere. Sarah's an incredible artist. Now she's recently retired, and I guess kind of like is it seems like symbolically passing the torch to her daughter Lily and going, "You take this, you run and do it." Although I don't think Sarah's actually retired. I don't think anyone retires from this thing. How do you retire from this thing? I don't think Lily will retire. It seems like she's going full steam ahead. We have a great conversation. Getting to know Lily was a great treat for me, and it'll be a great treat for you, I'm sure. Okay, we'll get to that conversation with Lily in just a second. First of all, let me tell you what's going on with me. I am back to work with Skyrocket. We've been working all week. We went Tuesday evening and did a very long sound check and production rehearsal because we were playing a couple of days at this construction convention that's happening here at the convention center. It's like a conference of construction people in the construction business from all over the country. They're all here. And so we did this long production rehearsal on Tuesday, because Wednesday we went in there in the morning and they had speakers at this giant, in this giant conference hall, about 1,500 people. Crazy, right? Giant video monitors, you know, those giant jumbotrons, you know, all over the place. Guys up there speaking, promoting the thing. And our job was to play instrumental versions of the songs that we play in Skyrocket as people entered the place and got their seats. And then we played what are called stingers, which are abbreviated versions of songs. Like when you watch a late night talk show and a guest comes out, they play a little bit of a song. Like say they play I Love Rock and Roll, which we did for one of the speakers yesterday. So they'll go down, out, down, out, down, out, down, out, down, down, bow, bow. And then the guy starts talking, right? So you play that much of the song. So we were doing that live as the speakers went. It was real fun. Doing that stuff is real exciting because there's a lot on the line and you got to do it perfectly or you'll mess up this person's speech and the 1,500 people there will think you're a jerk. So luckily, in typical Skyrocket fashion, we pulled it off and we did a really good job. Now, now that was on Wednesday morning. And then Thursday, which is when I'm recording this this intro, tonight we're playing the end of the conference, and we're playing along with Vanilla Ice and Tone Loc. So tune in Tuesday, and I'll tell you all about it. And then the rest of the weekend, we're going to Houston and playing shows, private shows. So we are back to work. Skyrocket is back to work. And next week, I'm going to be rehearsing with my new band again, with Pally and Joe and Gabe. I'm real excited about that. We don't have a band name yet. I need one. I thought of one. Sent it out to the guys. Hey, what do you think of this? And they're like, there's already a band called this. I'm like, God, yeah. It was the Beatles. No, I'm joking. It was a better name than that. Or not a better name than that, but a less obvious name than that. And anyway, it was already taken. So I'll let you know what our name is. We are playing on May 7th, Sunday, May 7th at 1 p.m. at the Pecan Street Festival here in Austin, Texas. That'll be our debut gig as of now. And I'm putting together episode 600 of the podcast. Can you believe that? We're getting up to 600, man. So I'm putting that together. That's going to happen in June at the Townsend, probably. I need to book the whole thing and get it all together, but I will let you know when I do that. You will be kept aware and abreast of that situation. Episode 600, live recording, hopefully at the Townsend in June. All right? All right, let's get to my conversation with the amazing Lily Blessing. We had such a great conversation. She is such a talented, talented woman. Wise beyond her years, funny as shit, and just amazing, amazing. Great, great talking to her, great sitting down and having this conversation. I'm sorry that I missed her Waterloo in-store yesterday. I really wanted to go, but my day was filled up with crazy stuff and meeting people, and then I had some Austin Music Foundation stuff. Hey, remember, look, if you're in Austin, you're a musician, you're trying to figure some stuff out, Austin Music Foundation is a great resource for you. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org, okay? Let's talk to the amazing Lily Blessing. Her album Lifeline is out now. It came out a couple of weeks ago. You can find it at lilyblessing.com. You can find it on iTunes. And once again, if you live in Austin, you can go to Waterloo Records and pick up a physical copy there. All right? Enjoy my conversation with this amazingly talented and hilarious woman, Lily Blessing. Let's get down. How long have you known? How long have you known all these people that you're around all the time?
Todd,
your whole life, Todd and other music people.
Charlie,
Todd,
like.
Todd was at your birth.
Todd was not at my birth.
That is awful.
No, he was not.
That's the last thing you need
Todd
to see
after,
as the first
oh, no,
thing
he
you
was
see.
At Eolon's birth.
He was
yeah.
at Eo's birth.
It just
okay.
seems like he's always been there.
He's just always kind of lurking, you know.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a lurky kind of guy. Well, but he can't really lurk because he's kind of a. He makes his presence known.
He does.
Yeah,
he
so
does.
He definitely isn't really a lurky kind of guy. We're just like, I'm here now!
You are here now. You just blew the gate off. Whenever you do that, move back a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I just wanted to blow your ears off how many, we started this.
How many interviews have you done so far for this record?
Are you kidding me? Only one other one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Well, I did an interview for a Westlake paper. And I did an interview on KI and then with John Ailey earlier today. And then I'm here with you. So not really, but I haven't really had an actual sit down interview like this.
Well, I do with John, you just play and then you talk a little bit.
We talked a little bit, but it was more of just like friendly compliments back and forth. And then I played some music and, you know, it was wonderful. But I'm glad to be sitting here with you today.
Really? Are you just saying that because that's what you do now when you're in interviews? I'm just joking.
I don't know. I'm trying to like figure out how to do this whole artist thing correctly. So I feel like that's what you're supposed to say.
How much have you been playing out throughout your career?
Honestly, I'm throughout your life.
You can only be real on this show.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
It's really good to know. I mean, I've gotten on stage with my mom when I was, you know, bowl cut, buck teeth, you know, little thing. But other than that, I played for a little bit when I was, I don't know, in my early tweens. And
what
then
was
I just kind of stopped.
Around the time of like Finley?
Indeed. Same time with Finley and Grace.
Yeah. How's she doing?
London. Oh, she's doing great. She's got it. She's her band, Miss Simplicity, is awesome.
And she moved here, right? She was on the show a long time ago.
Yeah, she still lives here, but I think she's about to graduate high school and go to New York for college.
Wow.
So she's doing great. And I haven't seen Finley in a long time, but William Harry's Graham, he's doing well for himself. He's awesome. Hung out with him recently. So it's all these Austin kids, just kind of like we're all grouped together. And my sister Io and I would play with them too. But I guess I just got in this angsty phase where I was like, I'm not gonna make music anymore. I'm just gonna like make visual art, do something different than everybody else. And then that obviously didn't work out. So I went back to doing this because it was like, oh, wait, no, I still got this bug. So I guess I'll just.
What did you do when you first started playing? Like, what were you doing in the kid time, in the tween time?
I would just sit and be really awkward and play my guitar, my ukulele, and play my weirdly mature love songs.
Your songs are weirdly mature. Like, they really are. And is this, okay, let's get into that
then.
Okay. Forget the past. Like, this album.
But that album is the past, you know?
It is the past, yeah.
Yeah, because I wrote most of the songs in between the time I was like 12 to 14 years old.
Are you joking?
No, I'm serious. And then I started recording.
What a weird kid are you? You are literally a weird kid.
I was so weird. I was so weird. I was like that really emo kid. Yeah, I was just that really emo kid that like, you know, that was like really into some dark shit, man. But yeah, I mean,
But what do you mean dark shit? Like, I mean, you were some 12-year-old kid. Like, your mom is Sarah Hickman.
My mom is like the happiest, like, jingliest.
It's like literally the human version of Tigger.
Yeah, that is so true. And she has a Tigger costume, or she did for a long time.
I believe that.
Oh, yeah. And I also have a Tiger suit, too, now. But anyway, besides that, no, I mean, it's also, there was another side to it, you know? There's different sides to everything, but my parents were divorced, you know. I feel like I grew up in this world of like musicians and like all this stuff happening, and then I went to public school and I was just like, you know, I kind of lost because I felt like I had heard all these stories and like seen all these things and done all this stuff that was just like kind of not really at the age setting I was in.
Yeah, like what? Like traveling?
My dad works in the travel industry, so I've traveled all over the world. I've been to Egypt. I've been all over the place. So I just grew up around a lot of adults in a lot of weird places. I ate a lot of weird foods. yeah, I've eaten like eels and goats together. It's weird, you know? I just had a very eclectic and strange childhood, and then I just ended up really funky, so that's a good thing.
So what did you, like, read books or, like...
Oh, yeah, I totally read, like,
you did? Is
Anne
that...
Rice, like...
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Interview with a Vampire.
At what age, like too young?
Yeah, totally too young, but I found it, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, brilliant. This is
such a dark romance. but yeah, you know, I don't know. And I just grew up listening to great songwriters, you know, like my mom and just like everybody in this town. And so I think I kind of came up in my head with like a way to sound like that, you know? So I was writing these songs about these really mature subjects that literally had nothing to do with me because I had braces and like acne everywhere. So I was obviously not living like the romance of a lifetime. But then I just, you know, came up with this record and I started recording it when I was like, I don't know, like 13 years old. And
where? Then, who produced this record?
Well, we started... That's a really good question. We started recording it at Tequila. And I was at a stage where...
With Marty?
With Marty, yeah. But I was at a point where I was just like, I want it to sound like this, but I don't really know what to ask for to make it sound like this.
Yeah, you were just a kid.
Yeah, I was just a kid. I didn't know, like, anything. Or like how to get certain sounds. So I think I got really discouraged because I was like, all of you adults are trying to help me and this is just not working out. How I was just,
right.
I don't know.
It turns into a bunch of people you feeling like they're telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And there's a sound in your head, but you can't express it because you're not sophisticated enough musically.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that still happens to me all the time.
Yeah. I was like, screw you guys. Yeah. I'm gonna go do something else. And so I did a lot of visual art and a lot of writing in high school, but I just never, I don't know, I guess I was just so, it's really nerve-wracking to have your parent be such a acclaimed musician because everyone's always like comparing you and it's like a comparing contrasting,
guys,
which is great. But
do you next generation kids sit around talking about like, God, man,
oh, man.
Why do I have to deal with John D. Graham as my dad? You know
what
I mean?
Oh, no. I think William and John Deere.
Yeah, he plays with them and stuff.
Yeah, they have a phenomenal relationship as far as I can tell. And he's just so close with his whole family. His mom's really great. And I think for me, it's just hard because my mom and I look alike.
You really look alike.
We look a lot alike and we sound a lot alike. Like just talking and the weird stuff that we do. Yeah. And we'll do things at the same time without knowing it and then look at each other like, oh shit, like what just happened? it's almost like a twin thing where we have like a creepy, weird, like inner language where we're like, do, do, dee, do, do. But,
okay, so you started this record with Marty, 13, in the,
in
the Tequila Mockingbird.
In Tequila Mockingbird. Okay. Flash forward to 18. I was on a this weird trip to Europe with my current boyfriend at the time. With my boyfriend at the time, not my current boyfriend. And I just look on my Facebook, and my mom had just started a Kickstarter for me to get my album going again. And I was like, "What?
Oh wow!
What the?" What the heck? And I was like really mad about it. But looking back at it, it was like the best thing she could have ever done for me.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, she did this without asking me. And I'm in Germany right now. And I'm not even in Austin. And I have no idea what's going on. And then,
let me ask you this though. You graduated high school. And then what did you go to college? Did you start going to school? Or
that's
what's
the thing
that?
Is I kind of always really didn't like school. I'm going to be really real with you. Just
me neither, girl.
Really didn't like it. I really didn't.
It didn't fit into my program.
Nope. I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I just like I feel like I was just doing busy work all the time, and it didn't bring me any sort of positive energy. And I took a lot of classes that I really liked, and I went to ACC for a while and just took some classes because I was gonna go to school for art. You know, I was really gonna go for visual art. And then I was like, why waste my money? You know what I'm saying? So then I just started working. I worked inside of a truck at the container store, unloading boxes in the middle of the night for a long time. Yeah.
That's kind of cool, though.
I did. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like a job you don't have to worry too much. No. You can think about stuff like write songs while you're working.
Yeah. I lived in this tiny apartment with no internet, no, like nothing except for like my guitar. And just wrote music. And I wrote 85 songs last year.
Jeez.
Just doing that hardworking labor job. And, like, I would go home in the middle of the night and just write music. So I've got, like, 85 demos just that I'm, like, sitting on right now. And
so there's going to be some, there's going to be some more. Okay. Oh, so, yeah. So what, how did you record the rest of the album? You picked up again when you were 18?
Yeah, we picked up again when I was 18. I got back home from Germany. And I was like, all right.
You had some money from the Kickstarter. How much did you raise?
Kickstarter. We raised around $6,000, which is really, you know, great. And then I, had been working with Andrea Perry on
her.
Yeah, she's great. And I'd been working on her with her on some other weird stuff. And I was just like, you know what? I like you, really down to earth, and I feel like I can really talk to you. And that's the problem I had, is I was like, I don't know what sound I want. And she really helped, like, build this record. But, you know, it was just me and her, so it took a while. Yes, I have her listed as one of my producers. And then we went.
Did you guys bring me a copy of the album?
Oh, no.
You guys are terrible. That's okay. Oh, go ahead.
Anyway, we'll get you one. We'll get it to you. And but yeah, then we went back to Tequila and Marty mixed everything. But it took a while, and I mean, this is just the first one, so there's still some things where I listen to it. You know, and but yeah. I'm just glad it's out. I'm glad it's out, and everyone really helped me, like, just figure out how to mostly, for the most part, do this on my own. I was like, I want it to sound like this, and I want this sound, and like, how do I make that happen? So I've learned, like, so much just from everybody, like, wanting to help me, which is really, like, the greatest gift. It's just, like, to have people wanting to help you, even when you're like, I don't want your help. Like,
yeah.
And I realize that now.
Forcing Kickstarters on you. Making you take $6,000 so you can start a career in music.
Wow, okay. I was like, that's when I was like, my mom really believes in me, and she's really talented, so maybe I should just do it.
Did you always like, was there ever a time that your mom's jams, you were like, stop singing, mom?
Honestly,
you
know, no? Not really.
That's good. That's good.
And we've always, like, we've written together. And
you have?
Like, from a really early age. And, I mean, I wrote.
Yeah, we did House of Songs together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A guy from Sweden.
Yeah. Sweden guy? Yeah, we did House of Songs together. I don't know. We were always in Tequila together. Honestly, I just really enjoyed it. Like, I don't really think there was ever a time where I was like, Mom, I wish you did something else. Like,
that's good.
Because there's, if you meet my mom, there's nothing else you can really see her doing except for, like, music. And now she's opening up a bed and breakfast, which is super cool. But, you know, I'm sure music will still be involved in some way or
another. There was a guy on Friday night at my show in San Antonio, who said that he went to go see you guys at your final show.
Oh, at Poor David's.
Before retiring.
Yeah.
And then I said to him, who retires? And then I walked away.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, mic drop.
Yeah, I dropped
the
mic.
Sassy.
She didn't retire. Nobody who retired.
I mean,
how can you retire?
She's retiring.
Elton. Look at
she's
Elton.
Retiring from the spotlight. She's taking a break.
Look at Elton and Paul. Like, they don't have to play.
Goodbye isn't always
it's
forever.
Super fun.
That's right. That's the statement. Look at Elton and look at John.
I mean, they're old. Old is
they're
hell.
Really old.
Like, they're in their 70s. Like, they're way older than us.
They have castles, man.
Who cares? They didn't do it for the castles. They do it for the love of music, man. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
See?
Sarah Hickman in the house, everybody.
I'm going to get on my high horse.
Yeah.
I do have a higher stool than the guests.
I like
that. Does
that
intimidate you?
It puts you in a place of power.
It does put me in a place of power. You understand those things, don't you, Lily?
Oh, yes. It's scary having someone just look down at you, asking you the questions. It's like an interrogation tactic. It's like, hey, I'm taller than you.
So what kind of, here, you step back just a little bit from the high.
Yeah.
Not too much, but just a little more. Okay. Let me ask you this. So you went to Germany, like, with your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start having boyfriends? Do you have a boyfriend now?
I do. He's awesome. I'm actually dating the star of Boyhood right now. I'm dating Eller Coltrane. He's
You're kidding
really
me.
Yeah, no, we've found him. I've literally met him on the street. And he's, like, he's literally the best person ever.
Another guy I knew when he was like this.
I know.
And then he became a famous movie star.
And I told him about that because his dad and my mom were in a band together in, like, in high school.
Really?
A Heart cover band.
A Heart cover band?
Yeah.
It's so weird. She texted me one day and said, hey, were you in a Heart cover band in high school? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, Eller's dad was in the band. And I said, is his name Bruce?
Yeah.
And that was in Houston. So how could it be that they
That's so
weird.
Yeah,
and we met each other on the street, and I was just like, hey, because I was on my way to do a photo shoot with Todd Wolfson, and I knew that Eller knew Todd, and I was like, hey, I'm just on my way to that guy's house. That Todd guy, you know, that Todd guy, it was the eye, and he's really cool. He's a little, you know, a little grump sometimes, but a great guy. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm very, very familiar with him. I know that guy. And we just sat and talked for a while, but I was actually, like, dating someone else at the time. So it wasn't a sexual thing at first. And then it wasn't like a, oh, hey, it was just like, a, oh, hey, I know you. And
didn't just start making out on the street when you met?
I mean, I wish. I probably, in my mind, was kind of thinking that a little bit. But, you know, he's a really pretty guy, so you can't help but kind of think.
He is a very cute guy, man.
Mm-hmm. So then we started dating a couple months, like 6 months later. We, like, it just started talking to each other, and it just kind of worked out really well. But I don't know.
Does he play?
He actually, you know, it's a sensitive subject. I think that Bruce is such a phenomenal, he's such a well-versed musician. Like he is what I would call a real musician. Eller just kind of felt maybe intimidated, or it just didn't work out that in the same way that my mom and I have that musical connection.
Right.
So he doesn't really play music, but he has a great love for music for sure. So
are you when you do this thing at Waterloo, which will have already happened by the time this comes out,
indeed,
you're going to have a band? Are you doing this? How do you do this stuff?
Well, I do it with, I got this guy, Lev Baker. He was on your show before with Moxie. We've been friends he's on the couch right now, looking fly. We've been friends for the past like 3-ish years. And I was just like, Lev, I need a guitar player because I have rheumatoid arthritis. So I'm kind of screwed.
You do?
I do, yeah. I have JRA, so I was diagnosed with it like...
Junior rheumatoid arthritis?
Juvenile.
Juvenile.
Juvenile, yeah. So I was diagnosed with it like 4 years ago, and so...
What happens when...
I have inflamed joints in my hands and like in my feet, and my bones, like things are starting to like warp in my hands and stuff, and so I have a harder time just like playing guitar and stuff. So I was like,
that's terrible.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it was really annoying at first, but now I've just kind of figured out a way to like write around it. But I was like, hey, Lev, will you come play guitar with me? And I he said yes. And I think, you know, at first it was like he was definitely doing me a favor and helping me out. And then we played this show together at Poor David's. And like, I feel like then we were like, oh, man, this is like. This is a good team right here. Like, we were just like, oh, okay. I'm pumped now. Pumped for more stuff. And we're probably going to have a drummer with us, too. Nate Zivin. He's a local drummer dude. What's the band that he's in, Lev? It's a very weird name.
An obscure name.
So weird. Like, they just made it up. It's like, I want to say Seersucker, but that's just because I'm always constantly hungry, and that's a really tasty restaurant, so I don't know.
I've played there before.
At Seersucker?
They used to do a thing on Fridays. It was
that's
awful.
Awesome. But did you get free food?
I did not enjoy it. Probably. I don't remember.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, that is all that matters. I remember that I did it, and it was like a 3-hour gig that went like 6 to 9. And then I had another 3-hour gig that was like 9:30 to 1:30. So it worked out and I made double the money.
Well, hey, I pull doubles all the time. I work as a barista right now.
Where?
That's my other job. At Book People.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Do you get a discount at Book People too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
You still read a lot?
Oh, I read all the time. Yeah. Well,
is that where that's where these songs come from? That's the world that you kind of learned how both are attracted to and hate.
Yes,
and then that weird song Submarine where you're under sheets, which is weird to hear from your friend's daughter.
Well, you know, that's the funniest one. That's the funniest one because I wrote that song probably first out of all those songs.
When you were like 11 or something?
I was like 13, you know, like I don't know. I was like at a stage.
And she went upstairs.
Yeah.
We were down at the pool chilling. She went upstairs. There was a ukulele in the hotel room and she came back down and said, this is the song I wrote. And I was like, what?
I just went off somewhere and kind of like a dog and just brought back this like, like, look at this thing I found for you guys, and instead of a dead animal, it was a song. So, when I was in second grade, yeah, pretty much. But when I was a kid, I was honestly, I don't like saying this, but I was, really ADD, and I'm still really ADD, but I went to a Montessori school, mm-hmm. and the way that works is they're like, learn what you want to learn. Yeah. And for me, I was like, I don't want to actually learn anything that I don't want to learn. So I just didn't know. I straight up never tried to really learn how to read at all or for some reason I was really good at math, and then like I really liked art, but I just really didn't want to learn how to read. And then I went to public school and they were like,
you gotta learn how to read.
This kid doesn't know how to read. And I was like, yeah, just because I didn't want to know how to learn how to read. And my teacher sat me down every day and took all this personal time. She was great, Miss Harrisberger, and she made sure that I learned how to read. She was like, you're way too smart to not know how to read, kid. And then once I got it, I like couldn't stop. And then I was like addicted. And my mom would literally like basically beg me to come out of my room and be like, please stop reading. You need to go outside and like make friends. And
so you were reading, like teen love novels?
Yeah, a lot of teen love novels, a lot of manga and like cartoons, all sorts of things, you know. I think, yeah, between that and like just like my weird kooky lifestyle, I definitely just was like had this weird expectation like growing up of like, oh, like this is how relationships work and I'm gonna write as if I know what I'm talking about. And then later when I picked him back up, I was like, oh, these are actually like pretty solid and truthful, even though you didn't know what the hell I was talking about. Yeah. And they're so personal. Like, all the songs are so personal, but they're literally...
just made up.
Yeah. It's so weird. And not all the songs. Like, some of them I wrote in high school, so they actually had meaning, you know? Like, Lifeline, I was going through, like, a really hard time. And I think
What do you mean, a hard time? Like, what kind
of
hard time?
Well, I mean, I, like, went through my first actual real breakup. I had been dating this kind of older guy for a little bit older than me for like 2-ish years.
And it was, you're 20 years old. You've had all these relationships, yeah. And you've gone to like Europe with dudes. Yeah. Like, you had some guy that you were with.
My
for
parents
2 years.
Were pretty like chill. I'll just say that. Well, My parents were really chill.
You don't have much of a choice.
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't think they really did have a choice because I was like not really giving them a choice. I was like, I'm doing this now. Bye. And then they'd just be like, hope she's still alive. Hope she's doing good things and whatever. And I mean, I think to really find greatness, you just really, excuse my French, have to like fuck shit up first, you know? And then once you do that, you can learn from it, your experiences, and be like, don't ever do that ever again.
So this guy broke up with you?
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever really been in a relationship and got dumped. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, and a bunch of other stuff that I can't even talk about happened at the exact same time. So I was in a real low place. And one of my friends, and I was like acting like a crazy fool. And one of my friends was just like, hey, like, I'm here for you. Like, you need to, like, stop acting like nobody cares about you. Wyatt Martin. And he would just hang out with me, like, all day and, like, make sure, like, I was okay. And, like, nobody else really understood, like, the severity of, like, how, like, sad I was at the time. And he would literally just, like, sit with me and do nothing with me, like, all day. And so the title track on this album is really, honestly, like,
dedicated to him
in a way. It's for him because it's, and I didn't really realize it until later that it was for him. But I mean, it's kind of like his voice like talking to me in the way it's like, people care about you. And it comes off as this love song as well, because it's kind of me talking to my ex-boyfriend, but also him talking to me and being like, hey, you know, like, you're okay, like, I'll help you get through this. So it's kind of got a double meaning for me, and that's why it's, again, like, so personal. So
it doesn't end. You know what happened to me like a month ago?
What?
Okay, so I was going out with this girl. She even lived here and everything.
Oh, all right. God.
So she dumped me, and then
who would dump you?
I know.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're so cute.
All of them.
You're so cute.
You're a handsome
thank you.
Dog.
It's a, it only gets you so far, though.
Feel that.
So I'm just telling you this because yeah. it relates, and it, and it's also in hindsight, it's very funny.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so this girl was a lot younger than me, and she's still alive. It's not
like
are
you a cradle robber? Like
no,
how
no, no,
are you
not at all, not at all.
Okay.
like almost half my age.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. You're not that old.
I'm pretty old. I'm 48. So anyway.
Well, 24.
She's
26. That's fine. Oh, yeah. That's excellent.
Okay, so anyway, beyond the age thing. So she was trying to get a hold of me. We had been broken up. She wanted to talk. She's texting me every day. Oh, can we get together? Yeah, sure. Okay. Oh, and she texts me later. Oh, I can't. Something came up. I can't do this. Okay, so whatever. So finally, one day we were supposed to get together, and then she calls me, and she's like, oh, I'm so sick. I can't. I don't want to get you sick. I think I have strep throat. I can't get together today. So I'm like, okay. Get off the phone. And my friend, you know, the night owls?
Uh-huh.
Ryan Harkrider calls me and he's like, hey, do you want to go to the Mohawk with me and see the Midnight Stroll? I'm like, sure. So we go see the Midnight Stroll, having a great time, having a cocktail out
was
on the
there?
Thing, talking to some people. And she walks in with a
no!
dude. A dude with a BMX bike who didn't have a lock
Ew.
For his BMX bike.
So you stole
and then,
it?
No. Then
you
he's asking
just
me.
Ridden
nobody
away
knew,
on it.
Nobody knew what was going on except for me and her, right? So we're both like, hey, oh, hey. And then she's like, oh, this guy with the BMX bike, this is Johnny. Johnny, this is this guy. And I'm like, oh, these are my friends. And it's all just totally weird.
Oof.
And then the guy's like, I don't have a lock for my bike. Do you know somewhere safe I can put it? Yeah, man, you can just put it over there by this. It was so weird. Anyway,
oh,
so it doesn't
geez.
Stop.
I feel
even
you.
Even when you're old and you're in a situation, it still is weird.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And I mean, even though we were broken up, it was still awful. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, that's the worst. I found out not too long ago that, you know, that one of my, my best friend, let me emphasize that. That guy who I wrote that song for, who I was with for 2 years or whenever, it's been a while.
Right.
Which is one of my songs on the album, but it's been a while. But she...
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Aw,
dude.
And him. And I asked her and I was like, hey, what's up with that? And she's like, nothing. And then later she was like, I don't know. Actually, I think I really have feelings for him. And it goes both ways.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay. Because at the time when it first happened with that guy, mm-hmm. and then you mm-hmm. your friend Martin helped you through it. That was one time, and it was devastating.
Yeah.
But now, when stuff like that happens, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Do you kind of get excited and go like, oh, I'm going to get some good songs out of this one?
Well, it's kind of, it's one of those things where it's like,
Like you're crying and then you smile. You're like, oh, it's going to be a good song one day.
After I dated him, I've really only dated like two people besides Eller, like really, I'd say. And I had another great boyfriend. But
the Germany guy?
No, after him I had one other great boyfriend and it ended really, really like the shit of nightmares where you're like, that doesn't actually happen in real life, and then it did. And
what happened?
It's his personal information, so I will not disclose it. But it was like the shit of nightmares. Like you like wake up and you're like, oh, it's over, right? And then you're like, oh my god, no, it's not. And so I had to break up with him and it was really sad, and now we don't talk anymore, which makes me really sad because I wish we could be friends, but I think it's too hard for him, and I've been in that situation, so it's like I understand. But I did get a lot of really good songs out of it, and it's like it's so terrible that place of hurt is like the most like creative place to be in.
Yeah. Well, now when you write songs, you said you wrote 85 songs last year.
Yeah.
When you write songs now, these are actually personal, aren't they?
Oh, they're.
I mean, because now you're going through more shit than you were when you were 13.
I mean, when you're 13, like, I mean, I was going through being angry at my parents and like
What were you angry at Sarah Hickman for?
Well, you know, my mom and I didn't always have the best relationship. I think that a lot of people can probably tell you that.
I think that's normal.
And we're also really, really similar. So I feel like when you fight fire with fire, you just get this explosion. Yeah. You just get more fire. And then people get burned. So, but I mean, I really honestly just needed to get out of the house. I think it was too much energy coming both ways.
I could see that.
And now that I've moved out, we have like this awesome relationship. We get along super well. And she's like my biggest support. And she's like my best friend. She's really great. Not to sound like a total nerd and be like, my mom, she's my best friend. We have matching tattoos. But
do you have matching tattoos?
Yeah, we do.
No way.
Yeah, I've got the key to her heart. Look
no
at that.
No way.
See?
That's awesome.
Yeah. We were in Portland looking at colleges for me, and I was like, Mom, let's go get tattoos. And she was like, okay. Because it's the kind of mom my mom is. She's like, yeah, let's
she
go
is
do
that
it.
Kind of mom.
And then we got on the plane like an hour after getting them.
Did you know that your mom sang at my wedding when my wife, like, she was the person that sang as my ex-wife walked down the aisle? I blame her for my divorce.
That's totally fine. You can if you want.
I blame my friend Craig publicly all the time because he gave us knives, and I heard that that's like
what?
You're not supposed to give people knives.
Here, you can murder each other with these.
My best friend, who I still hang out with all the time, he did that.
Ah, Craig.
So, Craig, I know you did this to me, buddy. He listens to this show sometimes.
Okay, well, if you're listening,
Craig, you ruined my life. Yeah. He's heard. I've said it on stage before. Let me ask you this. When you're doing shows and you're up there doing your thing, is this whole personality storytelling thing part of your execution
performance? I'm such a dork. I'm the biggest dork. We went to Poor David's and I had terrible nerves. I took a shot. I got up on stage and I was like, hello, just like arms out, just like, hello, everybody. Because I was like, honestly,
it was a packed house, and you're not normally in front of that many people.
No.
Were you by yourself?
Well, I actually,
oh no, you had,
I had Lev with me, but it's actually funny. I felt like way better because they're all my mom's fans. So I was like, you know, there's only so much to a point they can hate me. Am I right? You know, they have to like me at least like a little bit. And then, but before that, Lev and I went and did a TED Talk. Like I did a TED Talk.
You did a TED Talk?
Yeah. For what? TEDx Youth. And there was like 1,200, like 1,300 people there.
Where can I find this? Is it available
probably
yet?
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it. I haven't actually watched the video or anything, but the thing is that my mic went out halfway through, and there's nothing more like scary than your mic going out and you're in front of like 1,200, 1,300, like mostly like young people, because young people are the most judgmental people of all. And you're just standing in front of a bunch of them just like, all right. And so I just started yelling at them without any mic at all, just like yelling at them and being like, hey, my name's Lily and I can talk really loud.
That's awesome.
And so it's
what kind of response did you get? What was your TED Talk about?
It was
being
not
a
really
weirdo?
About anything. Oh. I honestly used it as a platform to just like play this song
song?
Don't know if I'll be able to play for you today or what's up with that.
Oh, you don't play on here?
Yeah, I figured. But. Oh, I mean, I just wanted you to hear it, but okay. Yeah, but it's basically
not available on the record.
It's not available on the record, but I'm going to be releasing it as a single soon because I've just gotten so much really positive, just like feedback from it. But Lev and I were sitting down and we have a problem with the Cheeto Man. Do you know of him, the Cheeto Man? Are you familiar?
You mean like that? Tiger that
no I'm talking about the like potato-esque looking figure with like the Cheeto dust on his face that talks
kind of
like
dust?
He's constipated, but he's also like in charge of our country.
Oh,
do you know who I'm talking about?
I literally thought you were talking about some Cheeto
no.
advertisement that I'm
no
enjoying.
I was just talking about Satan anyways. I
I take it you're not a fan of the current.
Not really.
And no, you know, not a lot of people are.
And and you know what,
but my dad is.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen
There's
to this show.
There's a lot of
then.
People. I'm just like really surprised. I'm like, oh.
I am also very surprised. My stepmom was here during South by Southwest, and I had a talk with her about. I was like, you know, how can someone like you, who would vote for that side of the thing because of your religious and moral stances still go and vote for this guy who goes against a lot of that.
Woman.
Like if you voted for George W. Bush, or even if you voted for Sarah Palin, because they had these sort of moral stances that they took, regardless of how they actually lived their lives, if they had these things, and that's why you're voting, because you have this morality and this religion and all this kind of stuff. I find it insane that those people are able to turn that off when it was so important to them 8 years ago.
Right.
That they can turn that off now and turn a blind eye to someone who's not really all there.
And, you know, it just makes me sad because I feel like, and I don't want to say that it's because people are uneducated. Like, I don't want to blame
it. This is your first time voting, too, right?
It was, yes.
And, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
I voted and I was with my boyfriend in the car and he was like, he's winning. And I was like, no, he's not. No, you're joking with me.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, there's no way in hell. And everyone was saying there's no way in hell. And then it happened. And I was just like, okay, well, the first thing I did is I woke up the next day and I called my doctor and I was like, hey, I need you to put an IUD in me like right now. Like, because I don't know what's going to happen to my insurance. I don't know what's going to happen to my health plans.
But a lot of people. I mean. Well, we learned this weekend that stuff wasn't able to.
They
can't get it together.
Yeah, it's upsetting to me because it's like I want to. That's a whole.
Well, especially
whole
now
half
that you also
country.
with your arthritis and stuff. That stuff is all like
it's all
my
very
sister.
Important.
Yeah, my sister has juvenile diabetes.
Okay.
I think isn't that what it's called? Even that if you're older, she's in her 30s, but she's had it since she was a kid.
Probably.
I don't know, but she has it, and that was one of the things that she was worried about, even though she did vote for.
Yeah.
What did you call him? Cheeto Potato?
Cheeto Man?
Cheeto Man.
Or just, you know.
I think there is a character that does Cheetos, and that's why I was confused.
I think
he's a tiger or a leopard.
And he has sunglasses.
He's a cool leopard.
He just looks like an angry sweet potato to me. A not so sweet potato.
Yeah. I think that there's a thing that there's a thing that came out last week, interview in Time magazine, where it's undeniable that this is not a person that's of sound mind to be in charge
really
of things
like,
that are run.
He's
crazy.
Just, and I'm super insane, but I just, not in that kind of way. Like, to me, it's like, I feel like this is a country built off of morals. And it's like, where are they? Where did they go? Like,
Do you, as a young person, what do you feel like you can do now? Like, what do you do in the wake of this as a young person? Did you do that march the week after?
I did. Yeah, I did march. I was actually not with my mom. But I wasn't able to make it to the women's march because I had to work, but I did hand out water for the women's march. And then I had to, I went to the one the night previous that was for like the LGBTQ.
Uh-huh.
And I marched in that. And I guess really now, like every opportunity I have, I'm taking to like play the song that we wrote. We wrote this song that, really just is all about the fact that this one person can't divide all of us, no matter if you voted for him, like no matter if you didn't vote for him.
Well,
it's just a lack of I feel like just respect. There's not like it's all of a sudden it's just like it's you're either red or blue.
That's true.
And
that's
it's
true.
Just kind of gross when, all of this hatred.
Right. The reality is that he didn't make it. The division was there before. There were people that were disgruntled, and it all goes back down to the fact that we don't really make anything here anymore. And for the last 100 years before, there was a whole economy and a class of people that made things.
Yeah.
And so that's how. I don't
know. And he's building it off of he's using the people who are less fortunate to kind of like build this, you know, like we're going to bring America back. We're going to make it great again. But it's just like the things
he's still,
that he's doing.
He's still serving the rich people. Yeah.
He's really just serving the 1%, the upper class. And it's just disgusting. It's just, I'm so infuriated. And it's hard for me because, you know, first of all, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
And two, you know, like my dad is gay. Like, I just, like, there's so many different things that I'm so worried about all the time, like, subconsciously, because even though, you know, it's, like, people are like, oh, it's just 4 years, and, you know, we'll get somebody else in there. It's, like, he's building, like, the setup for this to just become a completely, like, red, you know, basically, like, well, country. And yeah. And that's not the problem. It's really just the things that he's making actually happen, or like trying to get to happen. Yeah. That's what is scary, because it's that mindset that people can still think like that, that people actually can still make those things happen, even though it's 2017 and, you know, it's not 1945, not to say that, but it's like,
yeah,
it's just crazy to me. It's,
yeah.
It makes me worried for like my future children, you know, just, and they're taking the arts out of schools. Yeah. Like here I am talking as a musician and I
went
already,
on NPR today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I went on station. A publicly funded radio station. It's like all of these things that people love. And
I'm sure you grew up, the yeah. television you watched, I'm sure it was public yeah. television.
I didn't have cable. Yeah. You know, it's just all of these things that I feel like help.
Do you
shape.
Have cable now?
No, I don't have a TV.
You don't?
No, I don't have a TV. I don't really believe in owning a TV. I have a computer, but I use that for like, you know, recording stuff. And I don't know. I feel like TV just sucks up too much of my time. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I know. So. It does.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, where are these new musician kids going to come from if they don't have a way to, you know, especially kids who don't have the, you know, enough money to like really be able to do that anywhere else.
I just had a guy in here. I just had the papers. It's Grounded in Music. Do you guys know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Stallone. Just had him in here. It's going to be coming out pretty soon.
Sweet.
Just a short talk, though, about their 10th anniversary.
Awesome.
Do you teach or do anything like that?
I mean, I love kids.
I mean, do you?
I love kids. I would love to teach a songwriting class or something, but at the moment, I'm not currently teaching, but I would, you know, there's nothing more that I would love than to talk to kids and get them interested. Just get them started. I'm not really the greatest person to be a teacher, honestly, because
me neither.
I'm not
really at all.
ADD.
Yeah.
And I also just like, I feel like everything that I do musically is so up in my head that it's really hard for me to bring in other people, especially yeah. small people
yeah.
who don't even know what to do
yeah.
or how to even control their hands or their spit coming out of their face. Yeah, so
Kyle Crusham and I are in a band with a couple of guys that really have that temperament and that disposition,
because
it takes a special
best.
Kind of person to be able to teach.
You're,
you know,
you're like a saint, like you're just like a good person.
I wouldn't go as far as a saint, these people, but no, I'm joking.
Maybe not those people. I feel like people who can work with kids for a long time, you know, it's like They've got some kind of something in their heart that makes them able to do that. Because I feel like I would just probably like pass out at
yeah,
a certain point,
you know,
from
the
exhaustion.
Only, the only time I ever did that was with Super Pal Universe. And
yeah!
It still stands out as one of my favorite weeks of hanging out with people.
Super Pal Universe was the bomb.
And did you know I have this all-girl band with mostly the Blue Bonnets. But my first version, Livy was the bass player. I got Livy to play
Livy's
bass. Yeah,
because so
she's one of the coolest
awesome.
People I ever met.
She's so cool and she's so pretty and her music is so good. And she's in a new band called Marmalarkey.
Really? I need to get her in here. She's really cool.
She's really cool.
I think she drew that flower.
Oh, cool.
When we were doing that. Anyway,
yeah, she's
so
very talented.
So cool. She was also like a cool like Lou Reed or something. You know what I mean? Like most kids aren't that cool when they're like...
No,
she was like 14 when I met her.
Always cool. And I was, you know, she was like three or four years older than me, I feel like, or maybe like three. And I just looked up to her so much. I was just like, that whole group for me was so inspiring. I feel like that's what really made me be like... Oh, okay. My mom.
Yeah, there was another guy I saw for a long time afterwards. Rush.
Rush is so great.
Yeah,
he's so cool, and his dad's really nice.
Yeah,
and he's got his
you going
own
on his
show?
Show?
I did when I was a lot younger.
You need to go promote the record on there.
Yeah, yeah, I know, and so I'll be on there too.
Tell him now.
At some point.
Tell him now.
But
no, we've been talking.
Yeah, Rush. Okay. Rush was he was like the high school like. Hunk at my high school when I started going to high school there, like,
well,
every girl
too, right?
Yeah, he's an actor, and every girl was like, oh, Rush Evans, so cool. And I was like, yeah, I know him.
You know, once when he was a kid, his dad brought him to see me play, and I got him up to play with me too.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
I liked those Super Pal Universe
was
guys.
Did he come drum sit in?
Yeah, I think
for
he
you?
Just played some kind of hand drum or something with me.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's a talented kid too.
What kind of so you're okay? So there's no dates on your podcast on your on your website.
Well, that's the
no
thing.
No show
is,
dates. What's
that's
going
the thing
on here?
Is I'm trying to figure that out because I didn't really know when this record would be released.
Well, you got to get on it.
I'm
you're doing all this promotion.
But I'm doing all this promotion, and we're getting in touch with people, so it's. it's really like the next couple of months are going to be really busy for me because I'm going to have to try to figure out exactly what's going on. But
where do you want to play? Where do you see yourself playing?
Well, I already know that I'm probably definitely going to be playing at Port David's again because that's already happening. And that was seriously like the best show of my life so far. Like it was real good. And I'm going to play the Mucky Duck. I'm gonna try really hard.
And you're playing some pretty big places, big rooms. Are you opening for someone there? Are you going to go do your own show there?
I don't know. It depends if they let me. I'll totally do it if they let me. It's up to them if they trust me enough to not ruin their night. So.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Well, it's precarious because you're coming out. And I mean, you are a new artist, but you do have a bit of a leg up.
I've got while
you do have the talent to back it up. It's mm-hmm. not like somebody's just giving you some shit and you're terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like a lot of people Sarah's daughter is doing music. That's cool.
Are there people that ever go like, oh, well, she's Sarah's daughter. Well, of course she gets to do that.
No. Yeah. They're totally there. I had a lot of, there was a lot of kids. I was like in a songwriting class in high school and there were a lot of kids that were just like, oh, she thinks she's good because her mom is a musician and blah, blah, blah. And honestly, you know, I think I was a little cocky about that for a while, but that doesn't mean jack shit because you have to prove that you're your own person and yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And so, well, you've done that. I mean, totally.
Thank you. And I just, you know, I got up on stage and I had a lot of people come up to me after that Port David show when my mom retired and they were just like, you know, we came to support you too. And we were excited, but we were like, oh, she's going to play like a pretty song and then she's going to be done and this will be nice and whatever. But then you rocked it.
Yeah.
And that was like the biggest, like to hear people who are, you know, fans of my mom who have like a high standard because my mom's like, you know, grade A songwriter, you know,
grade
like
A.
Just
off you are.
The top of the charts, you know, just like fantastic. And so to have them say that and be like, you surpassed our expectations and you didn't suck. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. So, and it's a good place to start with an audience that will give you a chance.
Exactly. Just like will actually listen to me. That's all I want.
When do you turn 21?
In August. Sorry, I had to think about when's my birthday? How old am I? Because I still feel like 8 years old.
Yeah, I know. On the inside. Yeah. I still feel like 14.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm a solid like 8 year old. Like I like to run around and I like to run around and like catch bugs and eat ice cream. That's pretty.
Yeah.
Something I would still do for right now. So.
You're in a celebrity couple. Do you guys have a celebrity couple name?
We do.
Ellily?
No, Lilar.
Lilar. I like that.
Yeah.
Lilar.
Yeah. It's almost like Leela from Futurama, but not. But I know still a girl named just Leela. As sexy. Oh, you do? Oh, that's a good
She's
name.
Nice.
Does she have one eyeball?
No. No, she's got two kids, though. She got twins, great. Like
oh,
Kyle.
Oh, like Kyle.
Only
Kyle's,
single mom. So
dude,
it's even harder.
Kyle's twins? Have you met them?
I've never met them.
Dude, they're like otherworldly beings.
I never meet them.
Really?
I see Kyle like
He said four I was
days
like the
week.
Only person that's ever really met them. Been in his house.
Okay,
I think.
I'm going to talk to him about this. Yeah. I'm going to be like, Lily is going there meeting the kids and I'm here sitting here like a jerk.
Yeah, you got to give him some shit about that. I met them and they're like, they were like looking at each other like they were totally like doing that weird twin thing where they like talk to each other but they can't talk yet. They're like looking at each other like, you know, kind of shaking their heads a little bit and I'm like, oh my god, they're talking about me without even speaking. And it was pretty freaky, but also they're really cute.
Yeah,
so
they are super cute. I mean, so I get to see cute. Pictures of them all the time, but
you don't get to hang out
not
with
the
them?
People now. No,
oh, that's weird.
No,
maybe he's
and
just
you know these guys
them.
All my little cousins, they all like me a lot.
Yeah, you seem like you would be good with kids.
I am good
be
with
like
kids.
A cool uncle kind of
cool
guy.
Uncle. Yeah. Cool uncle.
Yeah. That's like, I'm going to be a crazy aunt.
I'm going to like a pull my finger uncle.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That guy.
I'm gonna be the one.
Hey, I farted on you guys. Uncle Farty.
Stanky. Uncle Farty. Oh, yes.
What are you listening to right now?
I've just been, okay, so I know that I'm like a little late to the game with this, but I've just been listening to Sean Lennon's album, Friendly Fire.
Sean Lennon's. That's like 10 years
I
old.
I know, but I had never really listened to it, and then I've just been listening to that a lot. I've been listening
That's the one that sounds a lot like John Bryan.
Yeah.
And even John Bryan was on it and stuff, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, he did a lot of production
That's
stuff.
A great record.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Great record. I, you know what?
Songwriting is so good.
Yeah, I didn't stop. That was one of a record that I went like 3 months just listening to it every day.
No, I mean, and it's the whole thing. You can listen to the whole thing, and every song just fits. And I didn't know this, but... Eller told me that he wrote that album for his ex-girlfriend who he found out was cheating on him with his best friend, and then his best friend died in a motorcycle accident, and then he wrote that whole album, and that's what that whole album is about. And I was just mind blown when I figured that out. And
you know, it must be terrible to be Sean Lennon and live with the guilt of being like, oh, I can make a whole album of this after that happens. You know what I mean?
So terrible.
That's terrible, but it's true. I mean, we are creative people.
No, he's so creative. And then I've been listening to a lot of Camera Obscura. They've always been one of my favorites, that little indie. She's so great. And they use like every instrument available to
them. I saw them do French Navy. Ah, fuck! I love that song. I saw them. I saw them do Waterloo. It's making the hair on my arm stand up.
Shut
I saw
up.
Them do when that came out. I saw them do an in store at Waterloo.
No,
yeah,
shut
I did.
Up. That's like my.
I did, and I didn't have
so
this
jealous.
Show, but I would have asked them to be on.
Oh, she just. I love that band. They're so good.
Yeah, me too. That's so awesome. I love that
good.
Song too.
Oh,
so
song
much. Such a great song.
So, that was one of the first songs I started covering.
Really?
When I started
you covered
playing.
That song?
Yeah, I covered that song all the time. I
Lily,
love that song.
You are so cool.
Oh, thank you. You're really cool. This place is really cool. I like all of your
is it really
figurines.
Cool?
Yeah.
Thank you. I get a lot of figurines. I got given
oh,
those.
You have a Mr.
Those...
Bill.
I do have a Mr. Bill. Classic. I've got a Dale Dudley bobblehead.
Wow, look at that.
I know.
Is that a straight jacket?
He is in a straight jacket.
Is that a turtle or a snake?
That's a
That's
turtle
really
made by my cousin Emily when she was in third grade.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's made specially for me. On the bottom it says, dedicated to JC.
Wow.
Which is me, John Charles.
Are you a turtle kind of guy, or do you like
I don't
turtles?
Know. I don't know why I got the paper mache turtle, but she was thinking about me when she made it.
Oh, man. You know, my mom was thinking about me when she said earlier this past couple of weeks, she said, hey, Lily. And I was like, yeah, Mom. And she was like, just remember. And she was trying to say, let me just say what she was trying to say first. She was trying to say, don't put all of your eggs into one basket. But instead, she looks me in the eye and just gives me this really sweet, cute smile and says, don't count your chickens too far into the future. And I was just like, oh, right.
You can't, or you'll end up like Enron.
Yeah, you'll end up like Enron if you count your chickens too far into the future. But and then I was like, what, Mom? And she was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I was like, no, it doesn't. But that's okay, because it was really sweet. So I get the sentiment of that snake turtle.
Snake turtle.
It's the meaning that counts.
Yeah. I got all those Kiss Pez dispensers recently.
Oh, those are classic.
Yeah, somebody gave them to me and also gave me a Paul Stanley from Kiss
like
guitar
your blue,
pick.
You got a blue meanie, too?
Yeah.
Mm,
you got to have the good with the bad. I need to get the rest of the guys, actually. Yeah. Although I do love Ringo. Mm. I'm
is
a huge
Jesse's
fan.
Is art in here?
Or nope.
That one
is Jesse's art, and so
meant.
Is the dog one. But the other one's my friend Chris Taylor from Dallas.
Cool.
I mean, from San Antonio.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's great.
I like the one with the dogs. I've never seen her do something so realistic before.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Those are the two greatest guys I know. Lily, is there anything I'm missing? People need to go to lilyblessing.com. You can get the album there.
L-I-L-I. Blessing.
The album Lifeline is available there. Hopefully there will be some show dates up soon.
Oh, very
soon. At some point.
Very, very, very soon. And I don't know when this will air, but...
It will air on Friday.
On Friday? Yeah. Oh, well, there's a show at Tequila Mockingbird on Sunday.
What?
Yeah, at 5 p.m.
5?
Uh-huh. And it should be pretty fun. It's going to be like 50... ish people and like a little listening room kind of deal going on. It's very intimate, so it'll be perfect for the kind of music
How
that I play.
People find out? Just you got to be on the inside to know it, huh?
I don't know. I got you the deal is with tickets, but
look on Facebook on my page, or they can look on Lily.
Yeah,
you
can
have
look.
Your own. You have a Lily Blessing page on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and you can figure out ticket sales from that. But it should be really fun. I'm playing with this guy, Patrick Lindeza.
Is that the first or the second?
It's the second.
April 2nd, yes. And he's, like, an amazing, like, Hawaiian guitar player. So if you like slack key and stuff, like, he's real, real good. So, and Lev will be with me, too. The talented, fabulous Lev Baker from Moxie.
Hot Lev.
Hot Lev. Yeah, he's a cutie. Look at him.
He is.
He's like a little couch potato over there.
You know, he looks like a very handsome young Jeff Klein.
Ooh.
From my Jerusalem.
I kind of...
And to say, I mean, I knew Jeff when he was actually young.
Mm. So that's a compliment.
Now he's old.
Oh. Hopefully you'll get to be old, Lev.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Gosh, Lev, I hope that you get to be old. Thank you for coming on the show. Everyone get out there. Go to lilyblessing.com. Find her on Facebook. Are you on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that?
I don't have a Twitter. I have an Instagram. It's Lil Hickey.
Lil Hickey?
Yeah, LilHicki. Lil Hickey.
Lil Hickey.
Yeah.
That should be your rap name. Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you. It is my rap name.
Since you like stone. If you let me, I'd make sure that you were not alone.
The phenomenally talented and incredibly entertaining Lily Blessing. What a great conversation that was. What a cool person she is. What a talented woman she is. Damn, man, that's very, very amazing. Go to lilyblessing.com. Find out her whereabouts, when you can go see her live, get her album Lifeline. You can find it on iTunes. If you live in Austin, you can get it at Waterloo. I want to thank Lily for coming by. It was great to see her. It was great to see Sarah. What a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, while you're out there checking out Lily Blessing stuff online, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher or TuneIn if you choose to stream your podcast. We're also on the iPhone podcast app. We're everywhere you find podcasts. You can also find us on Facebook and like our Facebook page. You will see photos of all of the lovely people that grace my apartment and this show. All right? Thank you so much for listening. Let's hear some more music from Lily Blessing from her album Lifeline. I hope that you all have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. I'll be thinking about you. Let's get down.
Kinda want you, I kinda relate to, and I just don't know what I'm to do. Cause I kinda hate you, I kinda hate you too, and I just don't know how I'll